true. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, here we go, guys. Parashas Mishpatim. Ve'ilu ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. Oh. So Rashi says here, Lama nismucha parshas dinin leparshas mizbeach. The end of the previous parsha was talks about the mizbeach, and now you have all the laws of, you know, dinim mamonos. Mishpatim is about dinim mamonos. You know, you dig a boar, mezek. That's mishpatim is about. You have an eved. Why is this connected to the mizbeach? So Rashi says, shetosim sanhedrin etzel hamikdash. The Sanhedrin Hagadol had to be in the base hamikdash. The Sanhedrin Gadol was in a room that half of the room was in the Azara and half was out of the Azara. Why? You're not going to sit in the Azara. Only a Melech Beis David can sit in the Azara. You can't sit in the Azara. But they wanted the Sanhedrin Gadol to be as close to the base Hamikdash as possible. But they sat. So the room was half and half, and half was in the Azara, half was out of the Azara. What's the idea that the Beis HaGadol sat in the Beis HaMikdash? You have to know, we think of the Beis HaMikdash as the center of Karbanos and Avoda. That's true. But it was also the center of Torah. That's where the Aron was, in the Bayis Rishon. That's where the Luchos were, that's Torah Shebichsav. And that's where the Sanhedrin is, Torah Shebaal Peh. That the Beis HaMikdash was also the center of Torah. And the Beis HaGadol had a special siyata d'shmaya that they got from being close to the Beis HaMikdash, close to the Mizbeach. That's very important, Rashi. Got it? So the Beis HaMikdash is not only the center of Avoda in the world, it's also the center of Torah. This is why, you know, the more Torah in the Old City, you know, the better it is. You know, Torah close to the Beis HaMikdash is a special type of Torah. It's not the same as the Beis HaGadol. Not the same as the Azara, but it's close. It's extra special Torah. Rav Schechter always talks about that rebuilding Torah in the Old City, you know, is a step towards, you know, what we used to have with the Beis HaMikdash. That the Torah was in, that's a big deal. People don't think about that. But the Beis HaMikdash was the center of Torah, not just the center of Avodah. Okay. Next. Next. Then it says, Asher Tassim Lifnehem. You shall place the Torah before them. What does Rashi say? Don't think you'll teach them once or twice or three times and that's enough. No. You have to be Matriach. Lehavinam Tami Hadavu Perusho. You have to explain things till they understand it. Asher Tassim Lifnehem Keshulchan Aruch Umuchan Lecho Lifnei Ha'adam. When you set a table, people are ready to eat. So you have to teach Torah in a way, you have to have a lot of patience. You have to teach Torah in a way that it's clear with the reasons, that it's organized, so that the students can understand. That's what it means. Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Got it? This is a big charge for Rebbeim. This is a big charge for Rebbeim. All right. Pasuk Yud. Here we go. Okay. So if a guy, an Eved Ivri works for how long? How long does an Eved Ivri work for?
7 years.
Right, till six years, until the...
Until he's right here.
And then if he wants to, he can stay till Yovel. What does he have to do? He gets drilled in his ear. It says, V'ratza Adonov es ozno barmartzeya. So what's that about? So Rashi gives two pshatim. He says, why does the guy become an Eved Ivri? Why does God become a slave and never did? What happened to him? No, what happened? Oh, so either he had debts he couldn't pay, or often he stole. And he stole and he couldn't pay back what he stole, and then he had no money.
Why are you trusting to be an Eved Ivri?
What?
What are you trusting to be an Eved Ivri?
Okay, good question. Okay, whatever. They keep an eye on him, you know, videos, video cameras for the babysitters. Ozen zo sheshama al har Sinai lo signal v'holach v'ganav teiratza. He heard, don't steal, and he didn't listen. So the remez is, hey, you didn't listen to not steal. So we're gonna it's your ear that we're gonna focus on. Got it? He didn't listen to lo signal. What about a mocher atzmo? What if guy Stam sells himself because he wants to have more money? He needs money. Ozen Shishamar Sinai, Kiliven Esrael Avadim, V'alach V'kana Adon Atzmo. You're not supposed to be a slave to somebody else. A Jew is supposed to be a slave only to Hashem. You're not supposed to be a slave to somebody else. So since you heard not to be doing it anyway, it's almost like a punishment that dafka in the ear is where we nail you. Well, oh, that was a good, pardon the pun, nail you, okay, whatever. That Veratz Adonov, those are the two pshatim why we do the ear. Okay. Next. There's an idea we mentioned from Rav Shechter a few times, Rav Shechter Shlita. It's talking about share ksus and ona. Right? Share ksus and ona. So share means food. This is what you have to provide to your wife. Share is food. Ksus is clothing. And what's ona? What's ona? What does Rashi say? Tashmish, marital relations. You have to provide your wife with the proper amount. Yeah? Ona sa. So that means that's part of normal married life. What's the word the Torah uses? Onasa. What does ona mean? What does the word ona mean?
Damage?
No. What is no, that's with an aleph. What does ona mean with an ayin? Time. Ona means time. So if Shechter says, you see, the Torah is teaching you that the main thing that a husband has to provide for his wife is spending time with her. Giving her the attention she needs. So the Torah is discussing the specific halacha of what? Of having tashmish with your wife. But the word the Torah uses is a word that means time. What's the message? That the essence is the idea of giving your wife the time that she needs. Okay, so that's... Okay, next. Ayin tachas ayin. We had this already. This is famous. Ayin tachas ayin. What does ayin tachas ayin mean? An eye for an eye. What? Oh, very good. So what does Chazal say it means? It doesn't mean the eye, it means money. It means money. Kesef. So I told you the Gra found a lot of Ramazim in the Chumash for Torah Shebal Peh. So the Torah could have said ayin be'ayin, an eye for an eye. What does tachas mean? What does tachas mean? Under. Oh, yeah, that's true, but it also means literally means under. Under. So the Gra said, take the letters ayin, ayin yud nun. What are the letters under an ayin? What are the letters under ayin?
Yud nun.
Under ayin is pei, under yud is kaf, under nun is saf. Letters. Kesef. The letters that are under, after the letters of ayin, spell out kesef. You got this? So it's a remez. Out of order. So it's a remez that you pay money instead of the eye. You with me? The Torah could have said ayin be'ayin, an eye for an eye. It uses the word tachas. Tachas means in place of. It also means under. So if you have the aleph bays in order, so you have the letter, like what's the letter under ayin? Pei. What's the letter under yud? Kaf. What's the letter under nun? Samach. So the Gra said it's a remez. That you pay kesef instead of the actual eye.
So why
that's not bad. That's always a very good. That's a great question. That's a great question, which the Mefarshim always discuss. The Mefarshim always discuss when Chazal have a Masora that's not the literal pshat. What's the point of the literal pshat? So here, several of the Rishonim say, and I'm sure Rosam talks about this. Several of the Rishonim say to teach you that the severity of knocking out somebody's eye is you deserve to lose your own eye. You should see how severe it is. The Torah is teaching you the Yesod HaDavar. This happens a lot. The Pashup Shah teaches you the essence of the thing. You deserve to, if you're so negligent and you're going around, you know, carrying nunchucks, swinging them around, and by mistake you knock a guy's eye out, you deserve to lose your eye. Yeah, okay. We discussed that with the Nemetzal and driving. When you're doing something dangerous, so that's called negligence. I'll tell you in a second. So wait, one second. So that's the pshat. The pshat is that's what you deserve. We discussed with Nemetzal and driving. No, we discussed that.
For Nemetzal and driving.
Yes, we discussed that. Texting and driving. No, that was a different one. Texting and driving. We discussed that. Chas v'sholom. That. How come if you kill someone b'shoga you go into galus? It was by mistake. You didn't know the guy was coming around the corner. What's the case in the Torah? You're chopping wood. and a guy comes around the corner, you didn't see it, and your wood fly, piece of wood flies and kills the guy. Right, it kills the guy. So the answer is, when you're chopping wood and wood's flying, that's objectively something dangerous happening. So it's your obligation to check if someone's coming. You can't say it was by mistake. It wasn't on purpose, but you were negligent. If you're chopping wood, and you know when you chop wood, pieces fly, so your obligation now is to, before you chop the wood, go check, put those mirrors that go around the corner, the mirrors, you got to check around the corner if someone's coming. You understand? So Nevin Sol says, when you're driving, that's objectively something dangerous, and you text, it says as follows. Let's say you're chopping wood, okay, and the wood goes flying, and nobody comes. So you didn't kill anyone. So did you do anything wrong? Sure you did. What'd you do wrong? You could have killed the guy. Hashem helped you out that no one came around. Rav Nevin Sol says, up in Shemayim, Rav Nevin Sol writes, up in Shemayim, you're written down as Ritzicha B'Shogek. Because that's what you're liable for. Just, it turns out you didn't kill the guy, but your action was Ritzicha B'Shogek. I want to get the exact lashon. I'll read the exact lashon from a sefer. It says you're driving along and you're texting. So you're texting. You look down for 3 seconds. During those 3 seconds, a kid could have run out into the street, and you wouldn't have noticed, and you would have killed him. God forbid. He didn't. You lucked out. So he says, up in Shemayim, you're written down. You did a Ritzicha B'Shogek because you could have run out then. Because when you're driving, that's objectively, anything that's objective, when you're doing something objectively dangerous, when you're sitting in a chair, that's not objectively dangerous. When you're walking around, when you're driving a car, it's physics, the kinetic energy of the car, you're driving a car, objectively, there's a danger of killing someone by mistake. Correct. So if a kid, Rachman Alitzan, jumps in and you had no chance, okay. But when you're doing something dangerous, part of your obligation is to check as well as you can. Just like when you're chopping wood, you have to check as well as you can. No one's coming around the corner. That's why we don't kill you, because it's b'shogeg. But shogeg doesn't mean it's not your fault. Shogeg means it wasn't on purpose, but you were negligent. You're chopping wood, and the guys and wood is flying, and you didn't check if someone's coming around the corner. That's negligence. Of course. So that's why you have a punishment. That's why you go. Yeah, we got sure. So, Nevatel has this thing in his house, the Vasikin thing. You have Vasikin at the Kotel. He has a minion at the Kotel, and then afterwards, what happens? You go to his house with him if you want, and then he makes Kiddush. He gives out a little grape juice to everyone, a little wine to everyone. Then he washes for Hamotzi. He makes Hamotzi. Then they give out cake to everyone. Then they give out soda to everyone. And between the cake and the soda, there's a little chocolate. And why is there chocolate? So maybe I'll give a shiur on that. Maybe today I'll spend 10 minutes. Why do they give out that chocolate in between the cake and the soda? There's a reason why. No. There's a reason why. And there's a reason why, guys. And Mishpacha magazine had an article about this thing once, and they didn't get it exactly right, the chocolate thing. And I wanted to write it, to get into Mishpacha is a big deal. I wanted to write a letter, and I didn't do it, though, to explain, in other words, I'll explain to you. Now, why does he wash and make hamotzi and not have cake? Because having kiddush with cake is not ideal. Everyone does it, and it's mutter. But really, it's better to make kiddush and have your meal right away. Having this kiddush thing before, and then when you get to your real meal, you're not totally, you're a little full already, is not ideal. Again, you're allowed to do it. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. Even the biggest people do it. Everyone does it. Kimat. I have some relatives who never eat at a kiddush. They just won't because of this thing. Okay. Whatever. But, no, they'll never eat kiddush with cake. They'll wait till their hamotzi to eat kiddush. Okay. And then he says a short Dvar Torah. And then you ask him questions on the parasha. He has answers to every question on the parasha. It's unbelievable. Any question you want on the parasha, yeah, he answers. Okay. So now it was ending. it was ending. So his wife, you know, was in the kitchen and comes out and says to everyone, oh, you know, next Shabbos, we're not going to be here. We're going to visit our son in Hanover or something. We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. Meaning, if you're getting up early to that masikin to come to the thing, you know, we're not going to be here. You know, so don't come just for that. Then she says, but Mirch Hashem, the Beis Hamidrash will be here next Shabbos. The Beis Hamidrash will be here next Shabbos. I'm sorry. Then she said, but the Kotel's going to be here. You know, meaning, you know, come anyway for the Kotel. You know, come for the Kotel. Right? And then she said, and Mirch and the Beis Hamidrash will be here next Shabbos too. And that's how she talks. She's, you know. So Nevensel heard that, and he said to his wife, he said her name. I don't remember. He said her name, you know. He said, I guess I'm quoting him. Yeah, I'm allowed to say Shifra. He called him Shifra. He said, if the Beis Hamidrash is here next Shabbos, we're not leaving. We're going to be here too. We're not going to Hanover Shabbos. That's a good one. You got it? Is that a good one?
Yeah,
that's a good one. Oh my gosh, you start laughing. That's fabulous. I have a mirror for that one. Yeah, I used to take my kids there. I'd bring my kids there. See, it's not so easy. See, his answers are very sharp. It's not like simple Chumash and Rashi. You know, so sometimes like it's not unless you're holding a little, you don't always understand the answers. So it's high. You know, nothing to end.
The same thing that came out last year. I had a question and answer on that question. Remember, saw that someone like from the robot.
Right.
They asked him, why is it called Parsha Yitro?
Right.
There's so many other things in the Parsha. Why is it called Parsha Yitro? He's like, and Rebbe tells it, you see in the book is, because it's the first word in the Parsha.
Right.
No one asked why Parsha is Be'era, it's called Parsha is Be'era.
Okay.
That was his answer.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, some of the answers are straight, and some of the answers are, okay, very good. Okay. So the chocolate thing? Okay. You guys have, what did you have, rice coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's a drink. So Hamotzi covers all foods. Hamotzi covers foods. Right? Make Hamotzi, you don't make a bracha on the foods during the meal. Just like Hamotzi covers other foods, wine and grape juice cover other drinks. So if you make hagefen on grape juice and you drink it, then you have a drink of soda, you don't make a bracha on the soda.
Wait, if you make a Hamotzi and you don't make a hagefen, you have to make shakal on the drink?
No. I'm sorry. Hamotzi covers the drinks too, it's part of the meal. I'm saying forget about a meal. You have no meal. No Hamotzi. No Hamotzi. No Hamotzi. It's good you ask, because it shows you have to be careful how you say things. No, you're having grape juice. Then you have Coke after the grape juice. So the wine covers the grape juice. The wine covers the soda. So you make a bracha, you make Kiddush, drink a whole cup of wine. Now you have Coke, you don't make a bracha on the Coke. That's the halacha. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Gemara. Yain poter komine mashkin. Okay, so far so good? What if you're listening to Kiddush and you don't drink anything of the wine? Then you have to make a bracha on the soda. The Shul Rabbi makes Kiddush downstairs, 500 people. You boxed out everyone because you want the good stuff at the the good stuff at the cake table. You're boxing out, so you hear the Kiddush, your Yotze, you have a piece of cake, and you have a cup of Coke. You make a bracha on the Coke. It's not that the bracha covers the Coke; it's the drinking covers. So how much? That's why we're here. So how much do you have to drink? Oh no! So there's a long ber halacha on the side of the page, and he says, if you drink zero, you don't. But if you drink a cheekful, is enough. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. A cheekful, 1.5 ounces. A little more. One cheekful is rov raviz, 1.6 ounces. So if you drink this much, you don't make a bracha. Now, obviously, it only covers drinks. It doesn't cover, right? Let's say you make Kiddush on grape juice, and you have soda, and then you have fish balls. You have to make shakal on the fish balls? Heron. Make a bracha on the heron? Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course you do, because the wine only covers drinks. It doesn't cover food, right? That's obvious. It only covers drinks, not food. You know the candy corn? You know the candy corn. You box out, get the candy corn. You with me so far? So what if you drink? What do you want to get?
Antimidonis.
Oh, the antimidonis. Okay. So what if you want to drink? So what if you drink between 0 and 1.5 ounces? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Ber Lacha says it's a suffix. Whether you have to make a bracha on the soda. So what happens to Rav Nebenzahl's Kiddush? That's what everyone does. He makes Kiddush. He gives everyone this much. A sip. So now you have a suffix shahakol on the coke you're going to drink at his house.
That's why you only shahakol with chocolate.
So the Mishnah Berurah says, what do you do if you have that suffix? Either he says, drink more grape juice, or have someone say the bracha for you, or the Mishnah Berurah says, have some sukkar, sugar, make shahakol on the sugar, and cover the drink. Wait, no. In those days, a box, a block of sugar. They didn't have chocolate back then, chocolate bars. So Rav Nebenzahl has, you say shahakol on the chocolate bar, that way you won't have a suffix shahakol on the coke. Yeah, but you don't want to do that. What? No. No, we discussed that. Suffix and ilchos brachos are like rechov ben Yehuda. There's something you want to avoid. All right, whatever. You got to be there. Rechov ben Yehuda, you want to avoid whatever.
Pomeranz is on the top of ben Yehuda. It's like,
what's Pomeranz?
Pomeranz is the book, the farm store that Shiva gives us money to.
Okay, fine. So you have a heter for that. You have a heter for that. Okay, guys, there's so much to do here. Well done. Okay, guys, we'll do. Oh, gosh, there's so much to do here. Okay, we'll do one more because it's very important. This is a little musr. But there's a lot to do here. Okay, but whatever. We can't do everything. Okay, go tikach shochad. Don't take a bribe. Don't take a bribe. Shochad lo sikach. Even to judge honestly, don't take a bribe. So the halacha is a guy is a dayan, and you know, you give him $2, a bribe. You can't take a bribe. So this is the world famous thing of Rav Hanan Wasserman. Here. Ready for this? It's like this. Here's the question. There's a mitzvah of Amunah, and the kid's 13 years old, and you bar mitzvah, you have a chiyuv of Amunah in Hashem. Right? What about all the questions and this? I don't know. It's, you know, all these questions about Amunah. A kid's supposed to have Amunah. So Rav Hanan says, if you think about it, having Amunah is obvious. There's a world out there. You assume somebody made it. When you walk by, you see a book. No one thinks that the book was made by monkeys by mistake, you know, pressing buttons 5 trillion times and the book comes. You see a building. The building came somehow. So the simple emunah is obvious. And that's why even a bar mitzvah boy has a chiyuv of emunah. So how come people have a problem? Because we're all bribed. Because if you really have emunah in Hashem, we're bribed. If you have emunah in Hashem, then what does that mean? You should do what he says. We don't have to do what he says, because sometimes it's sometimes it cramps our style a little bit. You understand? So we question, and if you can have a tzaddik who's on a dayan, and $5 made him not totally objective, so a human being who has yetzaharas is not totally objective. So Rav Hanan writes, and this is true, most emunah questions, the root comes from, I don't want to really believe, because I don't want to have my style cramped, and I want to live my own way. Now you have to deal. You have to answer emunah questions, but people have to be honest with themselves. Is the issue really emunah, or is the issue the shochad that a person wants to live a freer lifestyle? You understand? Right, Rosenblatt. Yeah. Again, you can ask, you're trying to answer people's questions, but you have to be honest with yourself. People have to be honest with themselves. Again, to me, emunah is pashut. Okay, everyone's got their own approach. To me, emunah is pashut. Baruch Hashem. But when a person has questions in emunah, you have to figure out, is it really emunah questions, or he doesn't want to change his lifestyle. It's a big challenge, guys. And but Rav Hanan has an essay about it. It's on this pasuk. Shochad v'sikach. a dayan's on a base din. He's a tzaddik. He can't take $10. He'll be objective anyway. He needs $10 to go to the store. No, no, no. You're not objective. You're possible to be a dayan. So if a tzaddik for $10 is possible, I'm going to stop here for now. Guys, there's a lot of shochat out there. And you have to be honest with yourself, whether it's a real question or whether you don't want to really believe. You don't want to really believe. That's a good mindset. Okay, some more Rashi's in Mishpatim, and there's a huge amount here. Rashi quotes many, many drushos of the Midrashi Halacha, Mishnayos, Gemara's here. In Perakuf Beis Pasuk Ches, the Torah is discussing the Shomer Aveda, and it says, Yeshalim Shnayim Lirayehu. He pays double to his friend, to his fellow. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this is referring to a towing tine as ganav. If you're a shomer on a pikadon and you claim it was stolen, v'nimsa shu atzmo ganavo, and it turns out that he stole it himself, mishalim tashlum mekepo. He pays double. The shomer pays double. Emesai when? Which case? Bizman shenishva v'achar kach bo edim. If he swore and then Adam came and testified that he himself stole it, and they learned it based on the psukim over here. In the Nativ, we learned this last year. Hamafkit. This Rashi here is a major player in the beginning of the sugyas in Hamafkit that we learned last year in Nativ. Okay. Parakuf Beis Pasuk Kuf Dalid. The Torah says, "Im kesef talve esami." If you lend money, es ha'ani imach, to the poor person. So this pasuk is discussing the mitzvah to give tzedakah, to lend money to somebody who's poor, who needs money. So the word "im" normally means if. So here Rashi quotes a famous Maimer Chazal, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, "Kol im v'im b'Torah b'shus." The word "im" normally implies a voluntary act. But here there are three exceptions. Chutz mishlosha. V'zeh chad mehem. This is one of the exceptions where it's not a, you have to give, it's a chiyuv to give tzedakah. It's not a voluntary act. It's a chiyuv. So here the word doesn't mean if, rather it means when. And I have here the art scroll Chumash, and it says, when you will lend money to my people, etc. So the art scroll translates the pasuk based on Rashi. They're not if, but when. So there's an obvious question, which is, if the Torah meant when, then why does the Torah say if? That's a good question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Darash Moshe the following very deep idea. It is a chiyuv. But the Torah wants you to get to the level where you would do this chiyuv even if it weren't a command. You want to train yourself, train your midos to such a level where you would want to give the tzedakah and want to give the loan, even if it weren't commanded. In other words, even if the Torah would have written if and not when, you would still do the mitzvah. Rav Moshe quotes, the Rambam writes that by mitzvos ben adam le Lamakom. So a person will say, look, I assume they taste good, but what can I do? Hashem says not to eat them. Efshi, but I can't because Hashem says not to. But mitzvos berom chavero, you're not supposed to say to yourself, oh, really, I don't want to do the chesed, but Hashem's forcing me to. No. You want to get to the level where naturally You train your midos. You develop the character to a degree that you would want to do the chesed even if the Torah said if as opposed to when. It's a very deep idea. It fits very well with what we said earlier, that ayin tachas ayin. Why does the Torah write ayin tachas ayin if the Torah means kesef? Because the Torah is teaching us that in its essence, what you deserve is you deserve to lose your own eye. The Torah is teaching you the essence of the halacha. So here too, even though it's a chiyuv to give the tzedakah, you're supposed to get to the level where you would do the mitzvah, even if the Torah would say if as opposed to when. It's a very beautiful pshat from Rav Moshe. Next, Perek Kuf Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. Don't listen to a meritless report of sheker. So the Pashat Shad, it's referring to Basedin. And the Gemara discusses different aspects of that pshat. Another pshat, which the Gemara quotes, is that this is referring to Lashon Hara. Rashi quotes it. Azhar l'makaba Lashon Hara. Tisa means to raise up. When you hear something, you raise it up in your mind. Don't raise up in your mind a shem ashav. Don't raise up in your mind, don't listen to an illegal report, a shem ashav of Lashon Hara. This is one of the lavin of Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his introduction to his Sefer that there are 31 mitzvahs and averos that a habitual Lashon Hara speaker will violate. It doesn't mean you violate all 31 every time, but it means that eventually you get all 31. So some of these mitzvos and averos you violate every time, and some you violate sometimes. So the Chafetz Chaim says this pasuk with this Maimer Chazal is one of the examples which you violate every time. That this pasuk is a direct lav against being makabel lashon hara lo tisa shem hashav. The Chafetz Chaim quotes as well that, you know, Chazal make drushos based on the letters of the Chumash. The letters Tav Sin Aleph can also be read Lo Tasi. Lo Tasi means don't cause someone else to raise up this in their minds, meaning don't speak Lashon Hara. When you hear Lashon Hara, you are raising it up in your mind. You're accepting it. When you speak Lashon Hara, you're causing someone else to raise it up in their mind. So the same letters, Tav Sin Aleph, can be read Tisa, which refers to being Makaba Lashon Hara, or Tasi, which is the causative, which refers to causing someone else to hear Lashon Hara, i.e. to speaking Lashon Hara. So this pasuk is one of the Chafetz Chaim made it famous. This is one of the laws that one violates every time one speaks Lashon Hara. Okay. Later on, we have the world famous Maimer Chazal about Basar B'Cholav. The Torah says, Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalevim El Perakav Gimel Pasuk Yates. Don't cook meat and milk. And it says it three times. So Chazal learned out from the three times that one is an Isser of Bishel, one is an Isser of Achila, and one is an Isser Hana. That it's also to get Hana from Basar B'Cholav as well. And this comes up once in a while. Once in a while, there are real Isiri Deraisa of Basar B'Cholav. And you have to know that there's an Isir Na as well. Okay. Just one more and then we'll stop. Well, first of all, you should know the end of the Mishpatim goes back and discusses Matan Torah, the timeline of Matan Torah. According to Rashi, Perakov Dalet of Shmos goes back and discusses what happened before Matan Torah. That's the first Rashi in Perakov Dalet. He says, Amosha Omar, Parsha Zu Nemra Kodem Aseres HaDibros, the Dalet Sivan. According to Rashi, Perakov Dalet of Shmos, the first half is discussing Dalet and Hey Sivan. You see, in the middle of the Perak, it says there, in Pasuk, it says in Pasuk Dalet, Vayash came Baboker, Moshe got up in the morning. In other words, it's explicit that there are 2 days discussed in the first half of Shmos Perakov Dalet. So what are those 2 days? So Rashi learns the 2 days are Dalet and Hey Sivan. Then you'll notice in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yud Beis, Rashi says we skip to after Matan Torah, Leachar Matan Torah. So according to Rashi, the first half of the parak is Dalet and Hey Sivan, and the second half of the parak is after Matan Torah. That's how Rashi learns. There's a very long Ramban here, very long. And the Ramban in general, we know, in general the Ramban, you know, there's a rule of Ein Mukdam Umuchar B'Torah. The Torah is not always in order. The Torah is not a history book, it's not written in order, and the Torah is written to teach us the lessons, teach us the mitzvahs. It doesn't have to be in order. So Rashi will use that rule often. The Ramban really tries to avoid using that rule. The Ramban tries to keep the Chumash in order as much as possible. We saw this earlier in Shmos Perek Yud Ches, where the Ramban goes with the Pshat that the Chumash is in order. And here as well, the Ramban maintains, you have to learn the whole Ramban here, it's very, very long. The Ramban maintains the Chumash is in order. And Shmos Perek Kaf Daled, the 2 days are Vav and Zayin Sivan after Matan Torah. Matan Torah happened on Vav Sivan. And then here the Torah is continuing it. And on Vav Sivan, after the Parshas Mishpatim, which all happened on Vav Sivan, the Ramban explains. And then it was Vav and Zayin Sivan. And Moshe went up, and then at the end of the Perek, Moshe goes up to Har Sinai on Zayin Sivan to give the Luchos. So this is a major machlokas Rashi and the Ramban about the timeline of Matan Torah. Oh, okay. So there's one famous Rashi here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayechazu Talkin Vayochu Vayishtu. It says that the Zakenim, not of an Aviyu, and the Zakenim were up in Har Sinai, and they ate and drank. And they saw, and they had a vision of Hashem, and they ate and drank. So Rashi says this was terrible. They viewed God. They looked at Him with undue familiarity. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma says. In other words, Rashi says that what they did was an Aveira. They shouldn't have been eating and drinking. Now you're having a vision of Hashem. They're having that most ruchnius moment of their lives. They're so close to Hashem, they should not be eating and drinking. And Rashi says they were punished for this. And Pasuk Yud, Rashi refers to this. But he saved the punishment for a later time. Hashem didn't want to ruin the simcha of Matan Torah with the punishment of these great tzaddikim. So Rashi holds it was Pasuk Yud Aleph is part of their chait. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see tomorrow in the Ramban shir that the Ramban takes the opposite approach to Rashi. The Ramban says it was a good thing that they ate and drank. They were celebrating Matan Torah. Mamish, the opposite of Rashi. And that we'll discuss Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. I wanted to add Rav Nemetzal's Lashon from his Sefer, Sichos to Bamidbar, pages 314 and 315. Let's ask ourselves, he says, Im Adam Zorek Evan Lirchov Barashlanut. The Afachad lo nizok. Haim Avar Mitzvah Satorah, Vadai Shekain. Hu Chata Bekach. Omnam Hashem Chasalav, Velovar Sham Adam. Mibuchinato, here's the key line. Mibuchinato, Hu Chayav La'asot Shuva. Bidiyuk, kimi sheyoshev shanim beir miklat mechpera rashlanuto. He has chayav the same tshuva, because he did the same action that Hashem helped him out that no one was walking by. A person says, etmol nahagti maher. I was driving too fast. Vekimat hiknat gashti. I almost hit someone. Aval baruch Hashem lo kara klum. But betzem kara davar nara. Something did happen. Hitreshalta b'shmiras nefashos. Here's the key line. Ha'aveira shel choser hazihirut truya me'ata v'omedet. The aveira is there up in Shemayim. Ad shetechaper aleha. Etc. And he talks about, you know, keeping the traffic laws. One issue is the idea of if something is, you know, if someone's chayev to keep the chukei medina or not. He says, but forget about that. Chamira Sakanta Meisura. Even if for some reason you don't think that, you know, the Machusa applies, but it's dangerous to drive too fast and to break the laws. And therefore, you have to be careful. And then he says, watch this, another key line. Misha okeif b'makom shasura ba'akifa, olech b'mehirut asura, olov ladas shaba'oso rega, yesh lo din chamur, shel rodef. And he writes, even if you're not misakein somebody else, l'chor you're misakein your own life, and you have a din of rodef on your own life. So that's the language that I was referring to, the Rav Nemetzal, from Rav Nemetzal Shlita.